Netanyahu offered his nation and the world a Hamas war update as Israel steps up its ground move into Gaza.
Today we draw a line between the forces of civilization and the forces of barbarism. It is a time for everyone to decide where they stand. Israel will stand against the forces of barbarism until victory.
Which he says does not include a ceasefire with Hamas in the aftermath of its October 7 terrorist attack. Meantime, with military and other pressure on the Palestinians living in Gaza, correspondent Charlie Daggett tells us...
The Israelis have been dropping these leaflets. They've continued to do it, trying to tell people to move from north to south. But when you've got fuel deficiencies and a blackout and communication deficiencies, it makes it much more difficult, not to say, to say the least, dangerous for anybody who's left in northern parts of Gaza to move to the south.
And after a mob in the mostly Muslim Dagestan section of Russia stormed an airport as a plane from Tel Aviv was landing, Russian President Putin now puts the blame for that on Western intelligence services and for the Mideast war too, the U.S. in particular. Putin, whose invasion of Ukraine has caused the death of thousands of people, says now the deaths of thousands of innocent people in the Middle East cannot be justified. A full end to the limited but long United Auto Workers strike against Detroit's Big Three as GM joins Ford and Stellantis in coming to tentative agreements.
The way this process works is there's a tentative agreement, and then each of the automakers sort of have a union executive council. They vote on the tentative agreement, and if it passes that council vote, it goes on to the general membership. Ford's council passed it unanimously, so there's every reason to believe that auto workers will support this enthusiastically as well.
Correspondent Chris Van Cleve. Google CEO is set to testify in one of the most important antitrust trials for the tech industry in decades, the Justice Department accusing Google of using anti-competitive tactics to maintain dominance in internet search, CBS News tech contributor Ian Schuer.
What the government needs to prove is that Google illegally ran its business in a way that made sure it was the top search engine for people to see. And that isn't as easy to prove as it sounds.
While in the transportation industry,
Southwest Airlines says in a regulatory filing that it may be fined an unknown amount of money by the federal government for thousands of flight cancellations that affected more than 2 million travelers last December. The airline also says it faces possible expenses from lawsuits filed by customers and shareholders.
CBS News correspondent Jim Crisula checking Wall Street. Pretty wide rally, the Dow up 574 points, NASDAQ up about 170. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Imagine getting ahead of your irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C by treating it with Linzess. Then you could start proactively managing your constipation with belly pain and get ahead of your symptoms. Talk to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of trick-or-treat times in the listening area for Tuesday, October 31st. Pittsville will have trick-or-treating from 4 to 7. Rudolph from 4:30 to 6:30. Vesper will have trick-or-treat hours from 4:30 to 6:30. During this time, there will also be games and a movie at the community center. Wisconsin Rapids, Grand Rapids, Nakusa, Port Edwards, Buren, and Plainfield will hold their trick-or-treating from 5 to 7. Stevens Point, Plover, Park Ridge, and Hull are from 5 to 8. The city of Marshfield has trick-or-treating from 5:30 until 7:30. They will close the following street from 4:30 to 8 for trick-or-treaters. West 5th Street from Oak Avenue to Schmidt Avenue. Along that route, they will also close Hardacre, Wisconsin, Adams, Drake, and Columbus Avenues. Be safe and keep a careful watch for trick-or-treaters tomorrow evening. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy tonight with snow likely. Lows dip down to about 24. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast tomorrow. Snow likely 36. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
This show, and a big thank you to my man and my partner in sports, Randy Paul, for being with us. Randy, good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
We got some local coverage from Randy that we're going to get to. A lot of our local teams getting ready to play, some of them already in action. I want to talk Badgers and Packers with everybody. Certainly want to get to the Bucks. I have to, Randy, in this next hour talk basketball. It's not in me not to be able to. So we'll get to all these things. Couple of quick notes. It does look like it has been official. Vikings starting quarterback Kirk Cousins has torn his Achilles. He's out for the season. I feel like it was already pretty much before any of us went to sleep last night, or some of us, like me, didn't sleep. We already knew that, but it's official from the doctors, from everybody. That's a go. Giants have traded defensive lineman, their defensive lineman Williams, to the Seahawks. That's a big trade right there for the Seahawks, who are apparently still making some moves.
They're currently in first place in the NFC West.
Go for it.
Who would have thought of that?
Yeah, I didn't.
When the 49ers were undefeated a couple weeks ago?
I definitely didn't. They see blood in the water and go for it. Giants are in the opposite position, where they already are looking at next year, looking at, did we spend, you know, how were we unwise with our money when we didn't put money in Saquon Barkley, but we did in Daniel Jones? This idea that, okay, the devil we know is better than the one we don't, or that just we have a quarterback and we're so happy that we have a quarterback, we're going to keep him even if we don't believe in him, is a little crazy to me. And I'm actually, I didn't intend for this to start this way, but I did want to start our show talking Green Bay and talking some Packers. And it does bring up the Jordan Love situation to me, because I would think that if I am them, I'm looking at a handful of contracts in the NFL and I'm learning. I'm learning real quick, especially if I'm Gutenkutz, who, by all rights, has, how has he done in this job? A C? A B? What would you give him? Because nobody's given him an A. If you will, 715-424-2600, please call up and give him the A. Call up and join the conversation. Everybody's job's on the line right now. The idea that there's a hot seat in the NFL, everybody's under a hot seat. Bill Belichick's under a hot seat. Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco is under a hot seat. He loses every game going forward here the rest of the season. He's under a hot seat. There are definitely a difference between hot and lukewarm with the Jordan Love situation. If I see what happened with Daniel Jones in that contract, where New York was, well, he's the devil we know. He's better than who knows what else we might get. We've already invested this much in him. We're going to go in on him. And then you see what you get. You have to figure that out if you're Green Bay. Is this a kid who is still under 20 starts in his NFL career, has a banged up offensive line, his receivers are only a little bit older than some of the kids in college that are going to be drafted next year? Is it that, or does he just not have it? Let's see what you guys got. Good afternoon. You're on the show.
Okay, I'm going to flip the script real quick here, but I'll make one little comment about the Packers. I quit watching after the first quarter yesterday because it just looked like they were not even ready to play yesterday. It was just like I wasn't going to wait the rest of my day. I was kind of halfway decent out, finished my yard work. So, but I think there's more than just, you can't really fault the defense at times on this because they've been on the field almost a quarter more than the offense for time-wise, or even a half, probably, as the offense. They're a three and out. The Packers are so predictable right now that you and I could coach against the opposing team against them and figure it out and get the stop. So, it's just...
Here's two things about this too this has really been standing out to me. We're going into this season. We're all eyes are on Jordan Love. We're evaluating him as a player, trying to figure him out. Is anybody else looking at LaFleur too? Like, are they evaluating him as a coach? because I'm doing the same thing with him. I'm evaluating Jordan Love as a fan, as a person that loves this game and everything. I'm also doing the same thing with Matt LaFleur, because I'm a little curious, are those wins and those championships, divisional championships, are they Aaron Rodgers or are they Jordan Love? It's the Belichick-Brady thing. We're trying to figure I would imagine that that's happening too, although I don't know. I don't know if that guy's job is golden and he's got no worries or at all. Maybe he does. Maybe that's the case. I got to say something else really quick, too, about this, because I've never seen this before in the 20 years or so I've lived in this state. And granted, I came here right as Don Majkowski took his first snaps under center. So just to give you a timeline, I've spent most of my life around Packer fans. All my best friends are Packer fans. I've never seen this before. They lost the locker room, not the players' locker room. They lost the fans. Like, usually they talk about, well, the coach lost the locker room, and that's why he's gone or something like that. The fan base, I have never seen like this before. It's not like you guys are angry. It's like you don't care. Like, this sucks. This is bad. We don't like this. But it's not even, I'm not even hearing anger out of anybody. And it'd be one thing if it was patience and distance. It's more this kind of, like, idea of not caring. And just being like distant from it, which is just weird to me, because I know people that would be buried in a casket in green and yellow and stuff. I mean, I've never seen this before where it's that detached, the fan base with team.
The one thing is, James, is that you watch it or watch the game, and Randy, you probably could vouch a bit on this. There's no effort. There is no effort. What they have, 10 penalties in the first half yesterday? Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's on the players because they need to focus. But are the coaches getting on these guys? Is it time that these guys put a match under these players and start, sitting there saying, your job is gone? They sat Walker a couple series on that left tackle about John Simon and what he do, face mask. I mean, it's just no effort on the Packers, and that to me, that's got to start with coaching. I mean, they're not getting these guys up and ready. The preparation's terrible, and it's just. But I want to end my call on a positive note.
All right.
Badger hockey.
Ah, yeah.
We beat the Gophers, number one Gophers over the weekend, and it wasn't like a last second goal. It was pure domination.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to watch both games, and let me tell you, there is a huge difference from this year to last year.
Are they number one in the country? Are they number one in the country right now?
Minnesota was, yes.
Yeah, is Wisconsin now though? I thought I saw something where it said Wisconsin was number one.
I'm trying to look that. Well, I wanted to double check that.
They did that because they went from 14 to number one.
Yeah, I know they when it was early in the season they were ranked about 20th and then 14th, but I thought I saw they jumped to number one, but I could be wrong.
They deserve it because they only got one loss.
Yeah, you're right. They got that one loss only.
I think Notre Dame is at number one right now, guys. Okay. I think, yeah. Nope. I apologize. Wisconsin is at number one. Nope. It keeps changing it on me, I swear to God. It is not cool. Boston College, Denver, North Dakota, Michigan, Wisconsin at number five.
Okay.
Yeah, the effort, they're just very aggressive. Their skating has improved. Their puck handling has improved. It's like a switch went on in at Wisconsin for hockey. And obviously they needed the new culture in there with the new coach. And it was fun watching the Badgers this weekend.
They were ranked 14th going into it. Moved up over 11 spots there.
Yeah, I thought it'd been weird they jump all the way to number one. By the way, you know one thing? Did you watch any of the Badger football game?
Yes, I did. And that too, even though they lost, that defense was, there was something different there too.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let me just make this comment that the Badgers were without their starting quarterback, Tanner Mordecai. They're without Ches Malusi, and Brayden Allen goes down like the second last play of the first half. So they didn't have their entire starting backfield for the second half. They're down by 7 with under 7 minutes to go, and all that they could talk about on TV was how great Ohio State was.
Yeah.
And I'm like, They're the number three team in the country. They're only beating the Badgers by 7, and the Badgers have nobody in their backfield that starts. And you're bragging up Ohio State? I'm like, come on. Say something positive about the Badgers.
Well, there's never, ever going to be anything positive about the Badgers. I mean, they just never get the respect. Hopefully, Luke Fickell will bring that respect, get the Badgers that respect.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, you and I talked about this last week, James, about how Locke, you know, he throws the ball. There's a couple of plays that he threw it so hard, the ball sailed at it. I mean, I think the Badgers would have, you know, it would have been a little bit better if, I mean, obviously it's a second start. It's a huge game. They were just kind of wanting him to go out there. But I still think, if you look at it, I think there's more upside to him than what a lot of people really think. I think if they can calm down his 100-mile-an-hour throw across the field at a 5-yard in, I think he's going to be the future. I mean, he might even bring in, you know, other wide receivers from the transfer portal because they're going to see how well he is as a quarterback.
And either those wide receivers are going to have to improve they've got right now because there's way too many drops, or they will have to bring in transfers.
Yeah, and DK was, I mean, he's
hurt too. He hurt his ankle, I believe. So there you go. There's a fourth person.
I know that with the college football, they don't have the injury reports. You know, it'd be kind of nice to know what's up with Braylon Allen and DK, you know, if they're going to be able to go this week. I think they play Indiana. But, I mean, it was, you know, then also then you look at it, at least another Wisconsin team can beat a Minnesota team. The Badger women swept three sets in volleyball last night. And that was actually kind of cool seeing that on Fox.
That actually was really cool.
Yeah, Indiana's not going to be any pushover either. It's at Indiana, and they only lost to Penn State by 9. So,
I watched a little bit of that game. They gave Penn State all they wanted. Have,
yep,
so.
You bet.
Got to get one more thing in on that Badger Ohio State game. For one, there is something to be said for it, not to us as fans maybe, but to that locker room and to that coaching staff of moral victories. So there is something you can build on there with that team going being beat by a couple of scores. There's something to be said. I think we talked about that last week on Playmakers. The other thing I got to say really quick though, I have to get this out there because I've been waiting for an opportunity and I finally got it. You take any team, any version, any year of the Ohio State Buckeyes football team, and that is the most overranked, overhyped team ever. I don't care teams that won national championships. There's never been an Ohio State team that the media didn't love as darlings that ever held up to that. Say what you will about Alabama or to modern day Georgia or any of these teams. They talk about them and they can back it up. So you understand it. You get it when you watch a Georgia game or even an Alabama game this year. I've never watched an Ohio State game, even when they had the knucklehead Urban Meyer there and everything. And I was like, wow, this is one of the best teams in college football. No, I watched Ohio State all my whole life, and I've never once seen an Ohio State team that intimidated me or scared me. They have good teams. I'm not saying they haven't had good teams, but the idea that never giving the credit to the Badgers and giving so much to Ohio State, that is just the as low-hanging fruit as, oh, the Bears are on primetime. Guess what's going to come up, everybody? The quarterback situation. Because it's low-hanging fruit, and they're just phoning in their jobs nowadays. They're not even trying, half these commentators, half these talking heads.
Well, part of the reason why I think that Ohio State is getting the talk is because of number 18, Marvin Harrison Jr.
That's a little different for me. All of a sudden, my voice changes.
I think a lot's got to do with that with him. I mean, the Badgers actually had him shut down there for a while.
Yeah,
That one touchdown pass he had he got the 1 foot down, he was falling backwards, and he made a great catch. It's just, he's a freak.
Really is. Yeah. I love watching that kid. I hate Ohio State with a passion of 1,000 suns, but I love watching that kid play.
It's kind of funny because they were saying that his dad sits there and basically doesn't say how good of a job he's doing. Mm-hmm. He takes a note, has a notebook, and he shows him what he could do different,
Yeah.
It's a coach / ex-pro player, but
Hall of Famer.
It's just you put him on any team in the NFL, you
you gain a touchdown or two a game.
I was just going to say it's going to be fun to see him play Sundays with the way that a lot of these kids are just seem to be coming out of college and able to learn routes so much faster. They're training these kids to be able to pick up the NFL game so much better. Reminds me of when they first started implementing a lot of the NBA rules with the NCAA. And you saw a lot more kids being able to transit when they had 3 or 4 years of basketball, were able to transition to the NBA game a lot better.
It would be fun seeing him go to Miami because they could use some receivers.
Yeah. Well, okay, so here's a question for both of you. Mm. If the Packers had a choice and it came up, you know, if they do the Packers way of the best man available. If Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr. is there for the Packers.
Marvin Harrison Jr.
Mm-hmm. How do you get a chance to finish the question?
Caleb, did you see USC only beat Cal by 1 point, 50-49?
Yeah. He's turning into a Johnny Manziel,
yes.
But with better talent.
Yep.
And honestly, any of these quarterbacks, they all look good. They're all great. Marvin Harrison. Give me that kid. Even if you're telling me that Jordan Love's not there next year, I still want Marvin Harrison Jr.
Do you have any kind of issue with Caleb Williams doing all these commercials?
That's been interesting.
That's just kind of jumped out at me, you know, and it's like,
There's only so much time in the day, and when you're already a student, and you're in the locker room, and you're in the weight room half the time, and then
studying
you're doing
film.
That, and then you're supposed to be studying film. If you're doing commercials, that's got to take away from something.
If Cal completes a two-point conversion at the end there, they beat him.
I mean, I'm really, really, really happy with these kids getting paid. I don't want to take away from that. You're never going to hear me come out against that. But I agree with you, Randy, that there's something to be said for that. I think that about NFL players too. NBA players especially. There's only so much time in the day.
Look at the difference between this year and last year with Caleb Williams when he wasn't doing commercials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just wonder if it's, any way tied to it. Kind of makes you wonder.
It don't help you when you're not playing well, but yet we're seeing you every day in commercials.
I kind of wonder if the Kansas City home base is kind of saying the same thing about Mahomes and Kelsey now. They've lost a couple, and Taylor Swift. Yeah. Did you see that Timber was playing? Shake it up. What was it?
That was well played. That was well done by them. I wonder. I don't disagree with you about the Kansas City situation, but I think that may have more to do with them bringing back Nagy. What were you doing? Why? Why did you do that to Patrick Mahomes? Leave him alone. He's a fine young man. Let him just do his thing in the NFL. Don't bring Matt Nagy back. I don't even get his name right. I don't like him so much.
Trying to fix the Dolphins' wide receivers.
Always good to talk to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
You too. 424-2600. Phone numbers. Phone lines are wide open. Call up and join the conversation, everybody. I'd love to hear from you.
You know, one thing I don't know if we talked about this with the Packers. I haven't been in much lately, but that one game, maybe it was a game or two ago, they were missing 8 starters, okay?
Mm-hmm.
8 out of 22. You know, you do the math, that's over a third of your starters that are not out there. That doesn't help either. And the penalties, of course, don't. I read a really interesting article, too, though. When they're talking about that Denver game, it was like in the first half, maybe. I can't remember all the finer details, but he threw like only one pass that was downfield. All the rest were like 3 yards or less. And Denver had the worst downfield pass defense in the NFL.
Yeah.
And they said whenever they complete a pass of 20 yards or more, the Packers never punt. And to only throw one pass like that in the first, that doesn't help either. So you're throwing all these short routes, and they're not breaking the tackles. They're not getting the tackles and the guards out there to block for those screen passes or those bubble passes. Yeah, there's a lot of things that I've been reading about. They're not happy with the draft selections. They're not happy with the coaching staff. We haven't had to put up with this for 30 years.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's just one of those things that...
There's a crack in the dam. The water's coming through.
And now for the first time in 30 years, we kind of thought if we go 4-13, we'll be lucky. Well, maybe we won't get to 4.
Well, and I think even going into the season with understanding that expectations can be low, it's different, though, when it actually happens.
Yeah.
And then you're dealing with it, and you're seeing the losses and feeling them every week. And we only get 17 of these games, 16, 17 of these games, 17 weeks. And we build up all week to that game. And everything, there's so much energy, so much hype put up to it. Get to it, and then blah, that's what you get. Let's take a call real quick. Good afternoon. What's on your mind?
Hey guys, how you doing this afternoon?
Good, you?
not too shabby. I just wanted to kind of key off the last fellow when he was saying that they had, or maybe it was you, James, that said they haven't really been that healthy. They were missing some guys. The Packers were the last couple games.
A little more healthy yesterday, right?
Yeah, I noticed that a lot. They say that there was nothing downfield, and that's why I know a buddy of mine was saying that he's holding on to the ball too long. He's holding on to the ball, and I think that says a lot for the defensive coverage too, because the guys aren't open downfield, so that's why he is going over the middle a lot. And, you know, I don't know if he held on to the ball too long or what, but either way, I'm happy because the Vikings won.
Yeah. I got a question, and again, this isn't me like doing the sports talk radio thing where I want to debate you guys or anything like that, because I agree with you. But who is healthy? We're in week eight. Who's healthy?
Didn't they say
who's the healthiest team in the NFL? Try Googling that. You know, there's nobody who's completely healthy right now. Everybody's got holes. Everybody's saying next man up. I think that it's awfully difficult to try to gauge this kid when he hasn't had a healthy offensive line all season. We're talking Jordan Love. I could be talking about any young quarterback right now. Insert name. Justin Fields, Jordan Love, any of these cats. Even the young guys, like the rookies this year, or Bryce Young or any of them. We're going to say the same thing about every one of them. It's hard to gauge them when you don't have this or you don't have that, and your receiver's dropping the ball, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But that's why these guys get paid the big bucks. That's why they get paid the money that we don't. That's why they're there and we're not. You got to make these calls. You've got to figure this out. I will say this, though. I would think that everybody's going to feel better after this. Nobody's in the situation that the Cleveland Browns are. As much as I don't, I actually always kind of like the Cleveland Browns. I used to like the Cleveland Browns and everything until the Haslams got there and stuff, and the whole Deshaun Watson situation. But look at what they are sitting on. They have paid Deshaun Watson $90 or $94 million so far, and they still owe him over $190 or $200 million more, the most guaranteed money of all time in the NFL. And he is never going to be. You can go ahead and replay the tape and throw this in my face if you want. He's never going to be what he was on his best day in Houston. That's never going to happen again. This is not how the NFL works. It's not how time works. Now you don't see players in at 40 or 38 or whatever just all of a sudden showing up. Like, I would think that whether you're Minnesota losing your starting quarterback yesterday or you're the Green Bay and you're not sure about your quarterback, at least you're not Cleveland. And perspective helps sometimes. I don't know. I'm just trying to make people feel better. Unless you're a Cleveland Brown fan, of course.
That's true. I won't get into the Sunday night game either there, James, just because, you know.
We could, but there's nothing to talk about. It was a pretty...
I know, man. That was tough. That was tough.
I didn't find it tough. I'm so numb to this. I didn't find it tough. What I thought was going to happen happened. What I thought was interesting, though, is to see the two of the worst coaches in the NFL face off, and who's playing hot potato with the win? Who wants to move up their draft stock? Yeah, you know, because that's all we are watching, really. That and a bunch of like really talented NFL players that are like, what? This is it. This is what we got. Look at that LA team. And the talent on that team. Tell me any of us wouldn't give anything for one of those guys on our team, let alone to have all of that on your team. And you sit there and you look at them. And one of the last names, if you're going down the best players on that team, one of the last names you're going to bring up is Keenan Allen, who's been in the league for like 10, 13 years and has been nothing but stellar every year. That's one of their less talented guys on that team. And this is what they put out there. They barely beat the Bears. I know that the score says differently. I watched that game. If the Bears had even a half a bit of talent or even two offensive linemen, that could have been a bit of a different game. I'm not saying they would have won, but it could have been different. That's horrible coaching. That is just bad, bad, bad coaching all over the place.
I wouldn't be surprised if that Staley fella isn't around after the season if he makes it that long.
The only thing that would shock me is if he was. If he not only makes it the season, but if he comes back next year. To me, that would be shocking. That would be one of the top five shocking storylines in the NFL to me if he keeps his job. Outside of him winning a Super Bowl, I don't see how that happens.
Hey, I want to change a sport real quick because I got a question you guys might be able to answer. I heard earlier today that the NBA is going to be implementing an in-season tourney. What do you know about how that's going to be played? Do you know anything about that?
Oh, yeah.
Supposedly start early November. Like, how does that work if you got time? I can hang up, too.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to hang up, yeah, that's cool, bro. Thanks for the call, though. We always appreciate you. People got things to do. They can't just hang on the line the whole time. I understand. So the inaugural in-season tournament is going to tip off Friday, November 3rd, and it'll wrap up on Saturday, December 9th. The inaugural thing here is that there's this is the NBA trying to make the regular season interesting. And trying to not only get you, the fan, to care about the regular season in these 82 games, but also the players to care. They've got a couple of things on the line here that I think make it very interesting when it comes to money and that. But I'm looking at this. The in-season tournament will consist of two stages, group play and knockout rounds. All 30 teams have been randomly drawn into groups of five within their conference based on one-loss records. So from this season, beginning November 3rd and continuing through November 28th, each team will play for four designated group play games on tournament nights, one game against each opponent in its group, and two games at home, two on the road. That's for Group A. For the knockout rounds, eight teams will advance in knockout rounds. Then the team with the best standing group play games in each of the six rounds will go to two wild cards. I could keep going, but none of you are going to understand a word I'm saying.
I stopped listening.
Yeah. No, nobody. Adam Silver does not know what's happening here.
The only thing I got out of all of that was this starts Friday.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It kicks off. They haven't even gotten 2 weeks into the season and they're doing this.
That's crazy.
So how is it a mid-season tournament if you're doing it like a breath into the season?
I could have swore you said something about they will be ranked according to their record. Well, they only have four games in.
So that may be a thing where maybe this is a typo. Maybe they're basing it on the records of last season.
Maybe.
That it almost feels like it has to be that, right? You know? I will say that all this stuff is very similar to if you tried to explain to somebody, March Madness that has never heard of it.
Right.
That's what's happening here is that we're in the beginnings of this, and it is probably going to be, to me, I think it's pretty explanatory once it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think March Madness, it's one thing to try to explain March Madness today to somebody. It's a different thing in March.
Yeah, here's the brackets, here's how it's going to work.
Yeah.
You know, on that too, it's something like, well, the top eight teams are going to advance. You said, mm-hmm. What's going to happen to the other teams? They're going to just go back and play each other? Or?
So they're done. They get a bye. They get a break. I mean, not a bye. They get a break. So that's the curious thing to me about this, too, is what are you doing to the – I mean, especially if I'm LeBron James – I don't care about this.
Yeah.
I'll take the rest. Like, you know what? We're out. We don't even want to win the tournament. We'll just take the rest. We'll see you guys come, at the end of November or something like that. I'm trying to win an NBA championship. Like, I don't know about that.
I think we've even seen that the home field advantage or home court advantage isn't always necessary. I mean, the Bucks lost at home last year to the Heat, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. It's not as big a deal, I guess, as they're making it out to be.
But. I get that you want to learn from other sports, and you're doing something that works for soccer really well. There is a gigantic difference. There's a huge difference between soccer and NBA.
Yeah.
And the way that these kids, the endurance, and the way that these kids are raised and that they play that game compared to an NBA game. It seems like it's almost like doomed. Like, I don't know how this succeeds other than them just forcing it on us and the players. I think that part's going to be very interesting.
I think we have to go through this one time before we're going to be able to make a rational judgment on it and see what happens. But I just off the top of my head, I'm very indifferent to it, if not even like...
Well, Yeah.
Maybe upset. I don't know.
The NBA learned from the NFL in this regard. The NFL, okay, everybody cares about player safety. You know what we're going to do? We're getting rid of one preseason game while we're adding a regular season game. Yeah, the NBA, nobody wants to pay attention to the regular season. These players are doing load management, all that. Well, should we shorten games? No, that's less money. Oh, no. Let's add games. Let's add a tournament. That seems like a brilliant idea. Brilliant. Let's go ahead and do that. that.
You know, just thinking of that last comment you made, do you think it'll get to the point where they'll add, they'll maybe have two buys for NFL teams and try to make it so that you only get one at, you know, some teams get one on week 5 already and some get them on week 13. Maybe give one, you know, give them one at 6 and one at 12 or something like that.
Yes.
Don't you think that'd be wise?
I think it'd be wise.
Because we were having a conversation before we went on the air about momentum.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not about momentum in the NFL. I don't believe. Yeah. I believe it's about health.
I agree.
Mean, you don't have Kirk Cousins, now you're done. I mean, there's no Super Bowl talk anymore in Minnesota unless they somehow find some diamond in the rough who's not an NFL starting quarterback right now.
Right. Yeah.
So he's number 33 on down, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Colt McCoy's phone isn't ringing yet. I don't think that's necessarily going to make you a Super Bowl contender. Nothing against Colt McCoy. I agree with you. I do think that they will eventually do that. For one, they can lean on the player safety thing again, mm-hmm. but also money. Yeah. Like they can drag the season out that much longer.
If they can get into March, that'd be perfect.
Right? That's the dream to the NFL. Yes. Imagine that. The Super Bowl is like the first week of March, and the NFL draft is in April. Like, yes. There's no, like, the NFL finally gets exactly what they wanted. It's already a year-round sport, mm-hmm. but it officially becomes a year-round sport with that.
Super Bowl's the Sunday that they have the selection Sunday.
Yes. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
perfect.
Super Bowl gets done, the draft's the next day. Like, you know, that's where what's going to end up happening pretty soon here. We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back. We'll get some local coverage from Randy that we'll get to on WFHR's Playmakers, brought to you proudly by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Rapids.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and one.
The thrilling victory.
Badgers win it. Tonight.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three, sidesteps left for three in the lead. He hit it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner three. Got it again.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger hockey lives here.
Keep it going.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Bug Tussle Wireless.
Bug Tussle,
we're out there.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy tonight with snow likely. Lows dip down to about 24. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast tomorrow. Snow likely 36. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Rapids. Randy and James here with you. Thanks so much for joining us. Phone lines are wide open, 424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. I want to thank Pam Hilke getting us the sports schedule here. Perfect timing as we get into local coverage.
Which makes me think that it's a possibility that in just 16 days, we might have our first basketball game.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, that's insane, yeah. Actually. I was thinking about this. So this is how long I've been doing this job and how much the job has taken over my brain. My dad asked me earlier in the weekend, hey, do you got any plans for Thanksgiving? And immediately I started thinking about the Cranberry Classic.
Right.
Like that's where my brain immediately, first thought, Cranberry Classic.
True.
Like, this is where my brain is nowadays. But Randy, you've got some local stuff for us.
Yeah, on Saturday, the state cross country meet was held at the Ridges Golf Course right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Mm-hmm. For the boys, no surprise in Division I as the Spash Panthers prevailed for the second consecutive year with a 5-runner score of 36 points. It was the fewest points since 1972. I was in eighth grade.
Wow.
That's how long it's been.
Wow.
So what a job by the Spash Panthers.
Yeah.
Congrats to them. Division II, Lakeside Lutheran edged out Winneconne by 4 points for their first ever title. And in Division III, Kohler grabbed the crown. Also for the second straight year, Pacelli ended up in 7th and iScan took 12th. Pittsville's Derek Grossman finished 57th. For the girls in Division 1, Slinger won it all for the first time, while 3Dubs was 17th. Xavier was the winner of Division 2 also for the second time in a row, and Bloomer took 2nd place. And in Division 3, Lancaster took 1st, and the Assumption girls finished 4th. For the Royals, Lucy Dolans finished 3rd with a time of 18 minutes and 59 seconds. Jordan J. Glinski was 46th. Brooklyn Shanick took 48th. And Bailey Harches rounded out the team scoring, grabbing 69th place. So congratulations to the Assumption Royals, finishing 4th at state over at the Ridges in Wisconsin Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
Girls volleyball sectional finals took place this past Saturday around the state. Just a few area teams vying to head to Green Bay this Thursday through Saturday. There were no area teams in Divisions 1 or 3 in the finals. In Division 2, number 4, Wapaka, who had just ousted Mosinee on Thursday, they fell to top-seeded Rice Lake in 4 games. While in Division 4, Newman Catholic is off to state as they upset Oshkosh Valley Christian 3-1, and top-seeded Columbus Catholic fell to Wanewoc Center in 3 straight games. The sectional finals for boys soccer also took place, with the championship to be held at Eline Park in Milwaukee this weekend. Only one area team was still alive, and that was Columbus Catholic in Division 4. And the Dons came up a couple of goals short to the Washburn Bayfield Co-op 3-1. High school football. There were 4 number one seeds in all 7 divisions at the start of the playoffs, and 8 of those were eliminated in the first 2 weeks already. Isn't that crazy?
Well, it's the scheduling, the momentum, you know, it's all that.
It's a playoff within a playoff.
Yeah, yeah.
In Division 1, both Hudson and Milwaukee Marshall lost in the first round to number 8 seeds. Division 2 also saw Milwaukee King lose to an 8 seed. Division 3, it was Port Washington falling in level 2. D4, St. Croix Central and Platteville both also fell on Friday. Division 5, Winnebago Lutheran lost to an 8 seed, while Colby also lost on Friday. And in Division 6 and 7, believe it or not, all number one seeds are still alive.
Oh, weird. Yeah.
Some area scores. Division 1, number 2, Kimberly stopped number 3, Spash, 35-18. I was watching a little bit of that game, much closer than the final score. They were within a score or so late in the game. Division 4, number 2, Mosinee was upset by number 6, Somerset, 42-40. Somerset scored 10 points in the last 2 minutes, including recovering an onside kick.
Whoa.
So the Mosinee got upset
nice.
There.
Yeah.
Division 5, number 1, Whitburn clipped the Falcons of Amherst 16-14. The difference, a safety and a missed two-point conversion at the end by Amherst. Number 1, Colby, as we said earlier, they lost at home to number 5, St. Croix Falls, 22-6. Division 6, number 1, Auburndale was 11 better than number 5, Coleman, 33-22. And number 2, Stratford knocked off number 3, Mondovi, 21-0. The Tigers will now travel to Auburndale for a level 3 matchup. Division 7, number 2, Edgar, shut out number 3, Eau Claire Regis, 20-0. Edgar is unscored upon since week 2, when they beat Stratford 40-6.
My kind of defense.
So now they beat Stratford 40-6. They also beat Auburndale 41-0. Auburndale and Stratford are playing each other in level 3 next week in Division 6 to show how good Edgar is.
Wow.
Yeah, their only loss for Edgar. Division 4 Ellsworth, week 1, 8-6.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Well, 8-6.
That's
wow.
it. Yeah.
Wow.
So they've given up 2 scores.
Huh.
And from 8-man football, top ranked Gilman got upset by 10th ranked Thorpe, 24-20. So a lot of action taking place, still a lot of action to take place. Hope they can get back next week and talk about some of those state championships taking place in volleyball and soccer and level 3 in high school football.
We'd like that. Always a big thank you and appreciate the coverage, Randy. Nobody does it better. It was nice to hear the, over the weekend, talking to people that were able to take in the tournament, the track and field tournament that came, that went on this weekend. And always nice to see a team that's never won before win. You know, that's always kind of cool to me. I don't care what the sport is, what the level of the sport. I think things like that are always interesting. And it's just nice to have this, you know, to be back to this and everything. I know we're very far removed from the years of COVID and that, but we're not. To me, I'm still like in this appreciation perspective kind of place where it's almost, the wins and losses are cool, but they're playing. Like, I'm just happy they're playing. I'm just happy that seniors are getting to have their senior year, things like that. It's a lot of fun. Thank you so much for all the coverage there.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I just saw somebody the other day wearing a mask, you know, either they're, you know, staying away from catching a cold or still concerned about the COVID, and you're thinking, that's right. That does seem like a long time ago, but it just isn't that far removed, is it?
Yeah. When it comes to coming up action, when it comes to high school basketball especially, I know that's something that we'll be covering and doing, having some fun with this year, of course, as we do every year. We'll be highlighting Assumption girls basketball. That's something that we are very proud of here at this station. We're looking at maybe doing some other stuff possibly, right?
Yeah, we're hoping to get involved and cover some boys and girls for Lincoln and Assumption. Get a little port action involved as well. We haven't been able to do them for a while unless they were playing, against Assumption. So we're looking forward to going over there. Always enjoy, visiting with the port fans, and got a long history going back in the days with them as well. And they're always very cordial to us over there. So one of the best places in the world to broadcast from as well. They got a nice little setup there in the middle. So yeah, looking forward to going over by the good folks at Port Edwards and covering them too. And of course, it's always exciting at the beginning of the year, new coaching staff over for the Lincoln boys as well. So that'll be interesting to see how that works out for them.
Very curious about that.
Yeah, and the Assumption girls, they've got a lot of talent coming back, and they had a lot of young players last year, and still going to be a rather young squad. So, all those girls who played not just basketball, but they're in these other sports as well. They do well in soccer, they do well in volleyball, they do well in softball. So just a lot of talent, and it's one of those systems, a lot like Edgar football, right?
Mm-hmm.
They just keep reloading, and that's how it is with the Assumption girls too.
Looking forward to it. A lot of good storylines going on for the boys and girls side of basketball, and as always, those are the storylines we know. There's always ones that develop throughout the season that we never see coming, but we can tell you we'll be covering it here and keeping you up to date on everything local, and looking forward to the coverage.
Yeah, we're always already starting to look ahead. I was looking at some of the schedules and trying to put together some options for us, and I try to do half a year at a time, mm-hmm. Try to go from mid-November till the end of December, and we've got a lot of let's just say we got a lot of options in a 6-week time span, and it all wraps up at the end of December, of course, over at the Century Classic, and it starts off. We're going to actually try to get started even before that Cranberry Classic this year, because the girls get going already in mid-November, so yeah, we'll be busy.
Yeah,
the way we like it, right?
Yes, absolutely. We'll take our final break right now, get that taken care of, take care of some bills, and when we come back, we'll have some more fun and take some of your phone calls, 424-2600. Phone lines are wide open. Call up and join the conversation right here at Playmakers.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than BugTussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, BugTussle has you covered. BugTussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. BugTussle. We're out there because you're out there.
All right, Quality Plus Printing team, let's make this a wicked awesome play. Tracy, you go right. Alan, you go left. McKenna, you go deep. Maria, Kathy, Carrie, Sue, Anna, Dan, give me time to throw. Printing and design, on one. Get your words out. Get your words out. With Quality Plus Printing, set, hut. Printing, graphics, and design. The team at Quality Plus Printing scores a touchdown every time.
A proud supporter of high school athletics.
It'd be great if life came with a remote control. You could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind. Like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Teachers, learners, schools, and communities have never faced more challenges than they do in 2023. Is education a matter of national security? Major elections, artificial intelligence, educator shortages, these issues have serious implications. Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci break it down every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. for you and your neighbor. Busted Pencils on the Civic Media Network.
Find previous shows and more at civicmedia.us.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy tonight with snow likely. Lows around 24. Winds out of the southwest 5 to 10 miles per hour. Snow likely tomorrow, high of 36. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 34.
Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers for this October 30th, 2023. It is 3:50 on the clock. You got your host, James, behind the mic. Just me for now. Randy had to take off, but a big thank you to Randy Paul for joining us, my partner in sports. Always appreciate Randy being able to be with us. Hoping he can be here next week. Looking forward to getting some more local coverage for you, as always. Nobody does it better than Randy. And looking forward to you joining us. Call up. Join the conversation. 715-424-2600. What is on your sports mind? Let us know. Before we wrap up the show, we will get to our schedule for the rest of the week, sports-wise, and let you know what's coming up on all of our programming here with covering sports, that is. If you didn't see, Kevin O'Connell, Minnesota Vikings head coach, came out recently talking about the injury to Kirk Cousins and how the team is going to go forward. They are going to be, for right now, going with Jaren Hall, the rookie quarterback that came in to replace Cousins late. They do have Nick Mullins, the veteran backup. He is on injured reserve. They're hoping to have him back soon, so you could see that come into the mix as well. But more than likely, they are going to be making a trade. It looks like that they are just showing their hand right now and letting people know, hey, we are in the trade market. We are going for it. Should they be? I understand that it's win now and you got jobs on the line and all that, but did, even with a healthy Kirk Cousins playing arguably the best football of his career, did anybody, and let's give him this too, Justin Jefferson coming back off of IR, even with all that, did anybody have Minnesota as a competitor, even in our division, but in the East? If Philadelphia and Minnesota are facing off, both teams completely healthy, I mean, who's betting on Minnesota on that one? If they're going up against San Francisco, who's betting on Minnesota on that one? And again, nobody's healthy. I heard it, I said that earlier, but those other teams got healthier quarterbacks than Minnesota does. I don't see the same situation with Minnesota that you had a similar situation with the Jets, where the Jets, that defense, I mean, Ray Charles could tell you that defense is lights out. What does Minnesota have to hang their hat on other than their wide receiver room that isn't even healthy right now? The idea of mortgaging your future with a team that's sitting at the number 7 spot right now, granted, we're also in week 8. There's a lot of football to be played. Certain teams are just starting to get healthy and hot. I wouldn't say healthy. I was thinking of maybe a Joe Burrow getting healthier, but that's one player. I would say more so getting hot right now. If I'm a Minnesota fan, I don't want my team trading even a 5th-round pick right now for a quarterback. Like, let's just go with what we got in-house here, and let's just roll the dice, see what happens. That 5th-rounder could end up meaning something down the line. I'd rather have that. If you're looking at this team the way that I am, and I think a lot of NFL experts are, I'd much rather hear from an actual Minnesota fan, though. What do you want? What do you think? Do you like that your team would be doing this? Curious. 715-424-2600. I've been dying to talk Bucks basketball, so we're going to. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Yesterday's game was an outlier. I was talking with Randy in our pregame, and when I looked at the box score and saw Damian Lillard's box score and how few points he had, I immediately got scared because I was like, oh God, he got hurt. And then I see his minutes, and I'm like, oh, what a relief. And then like, oh, what happened there? What happened there is you got a new player and a new team figuring things out. This is when you want these things to happen. Early in the season, work through it, and come playoff time, especially with this in-season tournament and everything, you hope to have that corrected. But don't get it twisted. Don't take your eyes off the ball here, Bucks fans. This year is important. This year matters. This experiment, this idea, this attempt is not just a singular year. You're looking at the next 2 to 3 years at the least of this situation, of this experiment, of this going down, of what's going to happen here. And nobody knows that better than Giannis and Dame. What did I tell you? I said that Giannis was going to sign that extension within days of Damian Lillard's trade being official. It actually was more like a week or two. But and I didn't say that as some, like, you know, clairvoyant, or I had some magic crystal ball or anything. It's smart. It makes sense. He asked for them to do something. They brought in the biggest name that you could bring in. He signed his extension. He's a man of his word, it turns out. That's awesome. And I think he kind of already knew that about the kid. It was already, you know, pretty evident. But games like yesterday, they're going to happen this season. I don't think you're going to see another game with him, you know, outside of an injury or a points reduction under 10 points. These are growing pains. You got to go through this stuff. Every combination ever has. I don't know if many people out there would remember when Clyde Drexler and Charles Barkley were playing together in Houston. But they didn't just show up together in the gym and immediately start, you know, doing alley-oops to each other and stuff. It took time. I remember seeing that happen. It took the Bulls, even though they ended up winning championships, took a while to, get Kukoc and, you know, Jordan on the same page. Those kind of things take time to work out. You're seeing it in real time happen. They're not able to do this in a preseason game or anything. It's you know, they got to go now with it. I think that you also would rather have that game happen last night against that opponent than tonight, where the Bucks are at home taking on the Miami Heat, team that knocked them out last year. I would say, who is the Bucks' main rival right now in basketball, in all of basketball? Who do you think is the Bucks' biggest rival? I would say it would be the Miami Heat. I think that that'd be a fair assumption, although I'm open to other names. So you take on the Miami Heat right now, who, all going, even before the offseason even began in the NBA, there was talks of Damian Lillard going to Miami. And then Dame said that he wanted to go to Miami. And then everybody in Miami, in the whole city of Miami, were just set on, he's coming here. It's just a matter of time. And they put all their eggs in that basket. And not only did they not get Dame, and then especially after Giannis signs this extension, now this dream that they had of possibly landing Giannis one day is gone out the window. But they also did nothing in the offseason. Young me would have no idea that Pat Riley was running this team. Or at least one of the faces of this team. Because it's shocking to me to see that. So you still got Jimmy Butler. You got Bam. You got some players over there in Miami. Jimmy taking off last night or whatever the night before, probably so that he could be healthy and rested up for this game. So you know they're taking serious. There's got to be some motivation on their end of wanting to beat the team that did get Dame, let alone the rivalry and what is already here at stake in the East where every game matters. Oh, it's early in the season. Oh, it's a, you know, the way they play is one thing, but the wins and losses, I'm not going to take that lightly, especially in basketball. Every single season of your basketball life, you get to the end of the year, and what's coming up? Boy, you know, there are a couple of games behind the, you know, home court or something like that. If only they had won these couple of games. Well, these are the games. We're playing them right now. They matter. Now, how you get the wins, that don't matter. How bad you lose almost don't matter. Because it's all early, and you're building chemistry, even on a team that isn't that doesn't have new players. You're going to have one or two new players in every single team. But the wins and losses, they matter. And the building of the chemistry, the reps, the live time, in real time reps are very important. So that'll be interesting. Also got the World Series back in gear tonight. How many of you knew the World Series has already played two games? How many? Raise your hands. Okay. Yep, series is tied 1-1. Game 3 tonight in Arizona. How many of you knew Arizona was in the World Series? No, I'm joking. Texas and Arizona. Kind of enjoying it myself. I can't speak for anybody else. I've never met a bigger baseball fan in my life than my father. And even he was a little like, wait a minute, they played three games already, Jimmy? I don't think that's necessarily on him or even baseball fans. Fox is doing a horrible job promoting this sport. Horrible job. MLB baseball has done themselves no favors having these games usually locked up right against an NFL game or an NBA game. Like, the idea that we're just going to schedule stuff and they got to work around us, that's not how it works anymore. Be interesting. Looking at our schedule for the week, tomorrow you'll have the Wisconsin Hockey Hour at 7:05. Wednesday, 5:05, Luke Fickell Show. At 6 o'clock, Wisconsin men's basketball taking on UW-Stevens Point. And on Friday, men's hockey hosting Michigan. Thank you for a great show, everybody. Best listeners and radio guys, have a